Should we clap?
Yeah.
Should we clap?
Yeah.
One. Two. Three.
Three.
Sounded good to me.
Yeah, it was great.
It was just at the same time. I clapped and you clapped.
You know that the lag.
I don't care if there's a lag. There was a visual lag. It was like
2 seconds here.
Well, maybe your internet needs to step up and get on the clap game, because mine clearly was fine. Clearly fine. Let me just open up this soda.
Oh, cool.
Seltzer.
That's fine.
It's not even like, it's just seltzer. It's just seltzer.
I don't care. Open your drink. Who cares?
I'm just telling you, man. Dude, I got a few things I got to talk about before we can get into Doom 2 Hell on Earth.
Okay. Do you want to talk about them before or after the intro?
Whatever. I don't care.
Do you want...
Huh?
We have a format to fill out. So
yeah, let's fill
it out.
Let's do it. Let's do it before so I don't act like a... No, wait. Let's do it after.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it after. You ready?
So then we'll start the episode here.
Yes. Hey, I'm Rance. And Bob is a fart in the mouth. That's him. Why'd you get all quiet? I hate that. Is that what you feel about this book, dude? It just stopped making noise. Like, it literally just stopped picking up your noises.
Cool.
I think even the microphone was tired of your noise.
Whatever. I'm tired of you.
Because you just started going like that.
I'm Bob.
I'm Rance.
And this is the Quarantine Book Club.
Yep. I'm going a little crazy.
Yeah.
I got some stuff that's not Doom related I gotta talk about. But then
that's
got
cool.
Stuff Doom related I gotta talk about. Okay.
Great.
Tired
sounds awesome.
I'm tired of a few things. Or are you eating a hot dog?
It's
you just picked it up and just shoved it in your mouth.
It's a sausage.
Well, I'm gonna eat fish sticks. I should have brought my fish sticks with me to eat. Because I'm a child. Because I'm a fucking child.
I'm interested in your stories, though. Tell me.
Okay, so I'm tired.
It gives me an opportunity to eat.
I'm tired. I'm not really... I mean, quarantine sucks, you know, and not quarantine. Stay-at-home orders suck, and it's really important, though, however, that we contribute and be responsible, and that we're... You know what? I can't look at you and talk seriously while you eat like a clear slob. You're just... Your mouth is moving like the body of a mancubus.
I don't know what that is yet.
Trying to consume all food into its chicken flab belly.
Wow, I really did get a lot of mustard
on myself.
Yeah,
you look
myself.
Gross.
That's the point. Come on.
So it's great to do the stay-at-home order, but there is this guy that lives, it must be 10 houses down on our row home thing, right?
Yeah.
And every day, dude is on a friggin' dirt bike, just like skating up the road. So I hear, I'll be at the computer and I'll hear, like that. Like, if that annoyed you listening to it in the podcast, good.
Because I think that happened our first episode.
It did. Probably, I think, right? So then he'll drive. He goes somewhere that's like maybe 2 blocks away. And then about 5 minutes later, I hear... as he goes right past me again. This happens like 6 times a day. I'm so tired of the noise of motorcycles.
Yeah.
Like, why? Why do you have to be driving? Just drive your motorcycle quietly, please. Okay? I know that Arlene in Doom 2 Hell on Earth is super into motorcycles.
Yeah.
But I don't need them to be loud. I need them to be quiet. I'm a quiet person. I'm a quiet person. So I need them to be as soft, as whisper quiet, as gentle as possible. You know why? Because I don't need no loud motorcycle in my life right now, son. And I look out and he looks so... He's got this dumb hat on. Doesn't even have a helmet. Wear a helmet, man.
He's super happy, though. He's enjoying himself. He's living his quarantine life.
No.
By not being in quarantine.
He looks so just, it's not, I don't like him. And if he's listening now, I don't like you. And I hope he hears that. Mr. Proud Motorcycle Man, Mr. Motorcycles.
I hear you, and I'm sorry. I've been having some issues too.
Like what?
Our next door neighbors like to listen to their music, and our walls here that are made of block, made of cinder block. This morning, it woke me up.
I was helping you out.
It woke me up last night. It kept me from going to sleep. Night before that, kept me from going to sleep. It's like their television and audio system must be pushed against the wall. But that's not a big deal because I like the neighbors on that side. What I don't like is the kid who lives across the street who is clearly selling drugs out of his house while his mom's not home.
Awesome. Awesome. What kind?
That's,
you know?
Cool. Probably hot marijuanas and some jewels.
He's got, hey, I got
jewels.
This.
Got this jewels.
Got this hot jewel here. You wanna hit this jewel?
He's a smug, like 15-year-old little shit. And
well, if you don't engage with him, if you don't even look at him, you just walk by without acknowledging him. When he tries to offer you your jewels. I hate that, by the way. I want you to stop that.
Stop what? Eating my
that,
food?
It's so gross.
Mm-hmm.
Your fucking face is right here. Man, you're going to have to bleep that.
I already said shit. It's fine.
And I don't like it. I don't know. Just don't buy his jewels, man. Don't buy jewels from him. Well, it was great doing this episode with you.
Can you hear it?
No, I can't. Thank God. It was great doing this episode with you.
Yeah.
And I look forward to finishing the book next week.
Yeah, same.
Let's get into this crap.
Oh, man. Okay. Sorry, thanks for indulging me in my disgustingness. I just wanted to be really gross. And also, that sausage was really good.
It looked really good.
It's actually, I'm doing the most typical Maryland thing.
What's that?
It's an Old Bay sausage.
But I thought that wasn't your thing, man.
It's not. It's not, but these are really good.
Because everybody in Maryland goes nuts for Old Bay.
Oh,
including Motorcycle Boy.
So, okay, since we're getting started.
Yep.
I got a couple of things to get us started off on the right bat.
Okay. On the right bat.
On the right. Oh, God. Okay. Just get
get started off on the right cricket
I gotta
bat.
Go get it. I'm going to get it going. So, I would like to leave you with to start with a review of the previous book.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to play the game. We'll play the game at the end.
Okay.
This is a review by reviewer R2D2 on Amazon.
You know, R2D2 has got some really, I've heard, reasonable perspectives when it comes to literature.
He does. He does. Okay. Now, what this is going to do for everybody is it's going to give us a recap of the book that we finished before this one, Doom Book One, Knee Deep in the Dead, and also lead us into a little bit about what R2-D2 feels about the Doom series in general.
First of all,
let me start by telling you it is a 5-star review.
He gave it a 5-star review? He must have loved it.
He did. Are you ready? Because I love this review.
Yeah, I can't wait.
Doom reads just like an action video game. Doom is a recognizable brand to any 90s kid or true gamer from the PC age of first-person video gaming. One of my most vivid memories as a kid is sitting in my underwear at the large IBM PC a kid around the age of 6 blasting away demons, bonies, and hell princes until late in the night.
Did he just say hell princes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't like R2-D2 already.
Yep. Doom changed video gaming and provided a fun, horror-filled universe for fans to live in. Sadly, as a kid, I never read the Doom novelizations. Now, more than 20 years later, I'm enjoying the series. The first book in the series so far is its best. Imagine your worst nightmare becoming a reality. Humanity's... excuse me. That's what I think about this review so far. Humanity's conception of hell and horror are made real by alien invaders who have one prime objective. Destroy humanity.
I need to stop you. Remember how you just ate sausage?
Yeah.
My wife just made me fish sticks and delivered them to me with vinegar.
Oh, nice.
And, like, heat it up. Like, she didn't need to do that. Okay, continue. I heard
that microwave in the background.
I'm so excited.
Okay.
I'm so excited. Go for it.
Imagine your worst nightmare becoming a reality. Humanity's conception of hell and horror are made real by alien invaders who have one prime objective: destroy humanity. Fly Taggart and Arlene A.S. must traverse Mars moons and destroy thousands, literally, of factory-produced demon-like creatures, and wait for it, zombies. Yes, I think this is definitely one of those long-lost zombie tales that should make a comeback. Although I am personally burned out on the zombie genre, sorry, The Walking Dead fans, but it's true. I felt revived by the undeads in the Doom series. Their lemon-stinking existence is a constant reminder that when the dead walk the earth, Doom number two, so will demons. Doom reads just like a live-action video game. The authors do a fun job to explain why rockets and medipacks appear randomly when levers are pulled. Great imagination, plus care and love, was put into these stories for fans of Doom. Knee Deep in the Dead is by far the best of the four-part series.
I think we can immediately break R2-D2 down as being an idiot, for one.
Clearly. Also, right. 8 people found this helpful.
Why?
I don't know.
Because it's not a good review.
It's not. It's a terrible review. Because it's a terrible review of a terrible book. Clearly, he's an idiot. We'll hear more from him later.
Well, would you say that the second book is already, in your reading, a better experience than the first one?
Yes. Yeah. Why so? I actually, because I didn't want to punch myself in the face while reading it.
Yeah. From the outset, I didn't find that it was as problematic as the previous book. I think the authors hit a stride with their ability to write dialogue. Not that it's the best, right? It's still 90s dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
But when other characters begin getting introduced into this world, and it's not just Flying Arlene walking around a base, killing demons and undead to walk the earth, says.
There's lemon far, smell.
Lemon stinky demons. When they walk there, so will demons. I feel like they actually know how to write a little better now.
Yeah.
Because My brain is, like, shutting down. There's far more dialogue-driven, and as such, they can get straight to conflict better. There's more interpersonal conflict, and I naturally learn more about the characters. Some of the things I learn I don't like. But...
we'll touch base on that.
But I think the minute they've introduced dialogue and actually had a different roster of characters in this world, the book is more readable. Already the series is more readable. Now, that's like saying one turd is more enjoyable to pass than the other. If the last book is hot, burning, uncontrollable diarrhea, this is like hot ropes in the morning.
Yeah, it's like you woke up and just having the morning diarrhea, not having a whole day worth of sitting around getting up and down from the toilet.
It's like maybe 2 or 3 sessions in the bathroom where you're really questioning what you might have done to cause that to yourself, but you just have to accept it and move on with your day.
Absolutely. As usual, I wonder whose work that is, whose fault it is. Because everywhere you go, people just ignore that Brad Linaweaver worked on this book, and they
because
only,
he's dead.
Yeah, I guess because they because only credit dead. It to Daffodab Hugh.
Do you think that's because Brad Linaweaver's name is less memorable?
Yeah, possibly.
He's dead.
As a kid, I don't, and having read the books, I don't remember seeing Brad Linaweaver's name on the cover of the book.
Oh,
I know
they were there.
I know it is.
Talk about how, really quick, the easy work that was done by the design company for these books, by the way?
Because they just picked the cover of the game that it was?
They didn't even need to recreate the logo.
No.
They just got the original logo. They just used the original Braum art, which, by the way, this art is badass.
Yeah.
Like, this is badass art. The original Doom 2 had such... other than, I presume, it's Fly Taggart's weird spiky haircut. Like, his weird, like, super 90s rock star haircut. But this was I believe it was Braum, fantasy artist Braum, who did these covers. Have you seen a picture of Braum back when he was a goth boy?
Probably, but I don't remember.
There is this hysterical picture. I'm going to see if I can find it while at some point you're talking today. There's this hysterical picture of him hanging out in a graveyard looking lanky from like the 80s. And it made, because I was doing some research on Braum as an artist. And he's a great fantasy artist. He's done a lot of stuff for, he did some of the Underdark books, like the R.A. Salvatore, not the ones that R.A. Salvatore directly wrote, but the ones that he wrote with some of the other Forgotten Realms authors.
Yeah.
And he did the covers for those. Now, the guy who did the cover for Knee Deep in the Dead, which was also the game cover for the first Doom, that dude's dead as well. And that's not Braum. It's not the same artist. But I'm just saying I like the cover. That's all. Sorry.
Well,
it's a long, long process to say I like the cover.
Cover for the version that I have, I can't even see. It's not on the audio or the Kindle version. It's on.
There's
no
cover at all.
Not when you like. Normally, when you're in a Kindle version, you can scroll all the way back, and the cover will be like the first page. In this one, it's not. It's just like the title page. So it's fine. It's boring. I think it's a bunch of skulls. I think it's a bunch of not. And I wouldn't call them lost souls. It's just. Like, maybe floaty skulls.
The publishing company's lack of attention to detail in all these various publications is friggin' infuriating.
Oh.
Whether we're looking at misspellings that are in the Kindle version and not in the printed version, or we're looking at misspellings that are in the printed version and not in the Kindle version.
Or in
there's
the,
no consistency whatsoever.
Or the Amazon version of Book 4 that has a... an excerpt from the wrong book. From a book that is not even one of the Doom books.
Do you remember what the excerpt was?
No, I don't.
Well, let's find it at some point. Because, yes, so if you look up Doom Endgame, which is the fourth book in the series, which we'll be getting to in about, like, I don't know, 6 or 7 episodes.
That's a lot of
the
episodes.
Excerpt they have is absolutely nothing related to Doom. It's some kind of, like, country living in the South, which is hilarious because if there was an algorithm that caused it to be autofilled on Amazon... They clearly picked up the fact that Fly Taggart is written like some kind of Southern boy, and they just immediately... So if he says y'all in one book, this Southern person's backstory must be his backstory, right?
Clearly.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
So I tried to do my research starting the book itself, and couldn't find anything about... Thankfully, this book's dedication.
I didn't even read the dedication again.
Nothing. It's literally like, hey, thanks for coming in last minute, helping us out, some other person. And it doesn't.
To Gail Higgins for help at the penultimate hour. Well, Gail, you helped nothing.
Gail.
Your legacy sucks, Gail. You shit the bed. Your legacy sucks, Gail. It sucks. I don't like it. I don't like you. Look what you've brought into my world. All right, so where do we leave our heroes off at the end of Knee Deep in the Dead?
Well, like any good story, we got to end with a cliffhanger. So at the end of book one, Fly and Arlene have just killed the spider mind demon guy thing.
The one that was in control of the outbreak on Phobos and Deimos.
Correct. And they've taken a planet ride to Earth because we've turned Deimos into a rocket ship or something. And now it's above Earth, and they're looking down on Earth and seeing that the alien invasion has come to Earth and they're too late getting there, and Earth is covered with nuclear explosions and stuff.
So this is where we start the book, which is them trying to figure out how they're going to get over to Earth.
Yeah.
And hilarity ensues.
You're right, because the first thing we learn is that Arlene thinks Fly is an idiot. Because we start with Arlene as our narrator, and she thinks Fly is dumb. It's very apparent, right? Just like, I can't even explain it. It's so, she's just so condescending about how dumb he is.
This is one of the weirdest choices, I thought, from the very beginning of the book, was that, now, we have this clever application of first person in a book that is a first-person shooter, right?
Right.
So you've got Knee Deep in the Dead, which is all from Fly's perspective, but all of a sudden, this book changes, and we start from Arlene's perspective, but then go back to Fly's. We're going to jump back and forth between various characters' perspectives, very Anne Rice in that regard.
And it's clear that Fly is the main character still. And I don't know what they're accomplishing by switching to other characters, except proving that they're not good enough to just write narrative in a way that expresses other characters' feelings. Mm-hmm. We need their inner monologue in order to show what they're thinking, instead of, I don't know, doing it more clever.
So there's a rule that I talk about a lot with when I'm teaching, where I talk about how obviously there's two kinds of narrators. There's reliable narrators and there's unreliable narrators. Then there's two kinds of books in that regard. There are books that have unreliable narrators who are clearly unreliable, and that benefits the narrative. we're gonna get super high school nerdy here for a second, but we look at something like The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. And that book, half of its conflicts and half of its greatness comes from the fact that our narrator is really not a reliable dude at all. Half the time he's lying through his teeth, even if he doesn't realize it, and he's obscuring knowledge. It's so wonderfully written and clever. Now, I'm not comparing this to that whatsoever, because totally different, right? But in this, and then you've got your other books, which is the narrator is so reliable. And the reason they're reliable in a first-person perspective is because it's actually a badly written book. Every first-person narrator is and should be unreliable, right? They either do things that they say they're going to do and do them the wrong way, or they lie about something, or they simply don't express knowledge in a way that is immediately accessible to us, what have you. Because we as people and as storytellers are not reliable. We exaggerate. We change details. So if the whole book were from Fly's perspective, I think we could start getting a little bit of that unreliability and thus, I think, raise the bar of the narrative.
Yeah.
Because then we're seeing how other people are feeling through Fly's eyes, which we actually get some of that in Knee Deep of the Dead. Fly is a libido-driven, chauvinist white knight who loves the core, loves ladies, and just wants to take care of his buddy. But with that, there's already an unreliability there. Would you agree?
Yeah, he's definitely... With an unreliable narrator, you have to look at it and say, first of all, what is their level of intelligence?
Yes.
So
yes.
The things that are happening to this character that are above their head, that are going over their intelligence level, you have to accept that maybe they don't know what they're talking mm-hmm. about. And you pick up inference from
I'm literally
what
picking
the text
pieces,
is.
Pieces of fish off of my knee, by the way, and eating it.
Hot. Hot. It's if you were to leave Fly as the narrator in this book, you'd end up with something very similar to another beloved 90s classic, which we all know is problematic now, Forrest Gump.
Yes, yes.
Because Fly's almost that stupid.
And he's also immensely defined, at least in some of his proclivities. Fly hates religion.
Yeah.
He doesn't hate it.
He hates it, but he relies on it.
Well, he relies on it, and he was raised in it, but he also makes fun of it, which we find in this. Which, again, a cool detail, potentially, if it were used appropriately, a cool detail of character. But there's never a point in this where Fly is given the opportunity to be unreliable, and we can then see through that. And in the last book, if you have an unreliable narrator, especially first person, the story is just as much about the other characters around them and how they act as balances to the perspectives of that first person narrator. Arlene does that in Knee Deep in the Dead. Starting this book from Arlene's perspective, we now just get the opportunity to see that they're going to write as reliably as they can from up to four different characters' perspectives. And it's not, I think, an efficient or effective way to tell a story, as much as it would have been to just allow me to stay comfortable with Fly as my antagonist, or as protagonist, and to just maybe not like all the things he does. But now I get reason in Arlene's head, and I get reason in Fly's head, and then later I'm going to get reason in the other characters' heads.
Everybody's
like
making excuses
Albert.
For each other.
Yeah.
Throughout the book.
Yep.
And they do some really dumb and messed up things in this book that other people just kind of let them off the hook for.
Such as? Do you have an example in your head?
Such as when Fly and Arlene finally get down to Earth, which they build a rocket ship.
They build a rocket ship. That's how they're...
Yeah? Yeah, hit me with it. You're mad because they built a rocket ship. Because Fly says, I'm qualified to do it because I built a car when I was a kid. He also, apparently, we finally find out that he grew up in Colorado and built a log cabin with his dad.
Oh, so he can build rocket ships.
So he can build a rocket ship. His middle name is Peter. We learned that, too.
We're flying on a moon.
Mm-hmm.
Above Earth. That's not meant to be a moon above Earth, right?
Right.
It's the future. There's got to be a functioning radio somewhere or some kind of communication device, right? There's got to be something to help them communicate with some kind of larger military presence on Earth and then maybe recalibrate the teleporters to get them back. We have teleportation abilities. They went through several teleports and several gates in the past book. And we have to build a rocket ship out of like a mail. It's like a mail tube.
A mail
ship,
carrier
right?
tube, yeah.
So Fly, but here's the cool thing is that it's so convenient. Fly can build it. Who's really good at piloting it?
Also, Arlene is, clearly.
Yeah, clearly.
Because
she loves motorcycles. That's the big development we find out about Arlene. I'm eating this whole fish stick.
So we have two idiots that are going to build a spaceship. But also, at this point, we're taking a left turn from the plot. Right off the bat, right at the beginning of the story. Because if we had followed the story, Flynn would be on Earth already, right?
Yes.
At the end of Doom, the first game, all of the end of the episodes, you're on Earth because you've gone through hell and come out onto Earth.
Because the cool thing about the first game is that at the end of episode one, you die, and that's how you get to Deimos. Why? Because Deimos is floating above hell. How can you go to hell? You have to die. That's awesome! How cool is that? There's so many, like, metaphysical...
It's not cool. Like, dude, it's not cool enough. We have to make a rocket ship planet.
There's so many, like, metaphysical implications of, like, why can I then travel to hell and still continue to shoot and kill demons? Like, that's cool to me, right? But then he's such a badass at the end of Inferno, at the end of the third episode, that hell opens up and spits him out onto Earth. Like, that's so cool!
And then he's got a dead bunny.
And he's got his dead Daisy. And now we got mail-carrying ships. Can we talk, though, about the other thing that I loved about the beginning was that they... I don't know whether... Are you okay there?
Yeah, I'm laughing. I'm hoping that you're going to talk about the same thing that I'm about, that I wanted to talk about.
Does, there was a, I believe it was a movie, I could be wrong, was it maybe 96 or 97, a fantastic piece of cinematic brilliance, starring Bruce Willis and Steve Buscemi, about,
Are you talking about Armageddon?
It might be this amazing movie called Armageddon, right? Mm-hmm. Where instead of training astronauts to be miners to destroy a meteor, they train miners to be astronauts. And they send them up, and the strain is too great, and Steve Buscemi falls victim to a true and actual disease known only as what?
Space dementia?
Space dementia. If you've never gotten the chance to see Armageddon, don't watch it. It's garbage.
It's so bad. But look up on YouTube.
But maybe it's good, right? Like, you ever seen Face Off?
I know. People say Face Off is great.
Dude, bad movie, right? Mm-hmm. Real bad movie. But every time that thing comes on TV, I can't help but watch the bitch. Like, I gotta sit down and watch it because John Travolta is having the time of his life. He's having the time of his life being the biggest sleazeball. When he goes into Nick Cage's daughter's room, or wait, I don't know, whatever. But he goes into his rival's room and, like, sees his rival's daughter, who's, like, 16, and he's hitting on her and, like, steals her cigarettes. It's hysterical because it's so bad.
Which character is the good guy and which is the bad guy before they switch faces?
Before they switch. So before they switch, Nick Cage is the bad guy.
Okay.
John Travolta is the... No, wait. Yes, Nick Cage is the bad guy.
I can't wait to get someone to send us an email going, you're wrong.
John Travolta is the good guy. Then they switch their faces. They take off their faces and switch. So then John Travolta is the bad guy being the good guy. And Nick Cage is the good guy being the bad guy. And they're trying to act as each other. And it's so painful. But it's great. It's this like it's like 96 cinema. It's perfect. Armageddon's the same way. It's garbage, but it's hysterically bad, especially Act 3. But I love it. And then they introduce space dementia, which we clearly know is a real thing.
And Arlene gets space dementia.
Arlene gets space dementia so hard. Why?
I don't know. She's talking.
Do you remember why it's explained?
Oh, because their lack of oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And
low pressure.
And why else?
Why else?
The most chauvinistic.
Because
bullshit.
Because she's got a smaller body than Flynn does.
Yes, yes.
He's a man. He's a man. So he's more sturdily built than a lady.
Ladies, just so you know, any ladies who may be listening and hearing me eat my fish sticks, sensually, you won't make it as long in space. You know why? Because your body can't handle it, according to Def Eatup Hugh and Brad Linweaver.
Don't worry, though. Flynn Taggart will be there to save you from yourself and your past. Your past, because your brother might have been a bad boy, done bad boy things to you.
Can I read it?
If we're going to make you an interesting lady character, we're going to have to put you in danger from another man sexually.
I threw the book when I got here. I threw the book.
So
because
don't worry about it.
So we learn a little bit about when Arlene has space dementia, right? When she has space dementia, we learn a little bit about her past. And the only way that these idiots know how to make a woman vulnerable and also to give her purpose as a character is to make her the victim of sexual assault in her past.
Let's stop right there.
It's so garbage. It's so garbage.
And talk about my biggest problem with this book right here, which is that no matter what we do to the female characters in this book, specifically Arlene, we've handed Arlene this faux agency and this ridiculous idea that she's a character, when in fact she is still just an object. And they stop and they say at one point, by like via the text, they say, hey, we're making her, by saying that she's not an object, we're making her an object.
100%.
They go through and they basically, one of the characters looks at her and says, Albert looks at her and says, I shouldn't think about her like that. These are wrong thoughts. She's a person. And by doing that, you're just objectifying her because you're saying a character is telling themselves that they shouldn't objectify her, which means that in the book, you're just taking her and you're turning her into that object that you're saying she shouldn't be.
The first thing that he thinks is that she is this object of physical pleasure first, no matter how good Albert comes across. So we are introduced to a character later named Albert Gallatin. Is that how you pronounce it? Albert Gallatin?
That's fine. Albert Guillotine. Albert, and get out of my face.
He's a member of the Mormon Church, which, again, interesting approach to, like, they land it outside of Salt Lake City. And we find that one of the last enclaves of, like, organized human civilization is Salt Lake City.
Are there still that many Mormons in Salt Lake City? Is it still a bastion of the Mormon religion?
So, I don't know. However, I did know someone who was Mormon, and they did make regular trips every 2 or 3 years out to Salt Lake City.
Really?
Yeah. And that's not even me joking. Like, I have no idea why. I never asked because I'm an asshole. But also, the only knowledge I had as a child about Salt Lake City and the Mormons came from this book by Daffy Depew and Brad Lineweaver.
That's a problem, man.
That's a real big problem. Everything I know in my life about Mormonism came from this book. When Fly Taggart sees the Angel Moroni and calls it the Angel Moron.
When I was a kid, I always thought the Angel Moroni had one less letter in its name. Wink, 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 wink.
Do you remember, on a slightly different subject, completely different subject, actually.
I got to get back to Arlene in a minute, by the way. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
We'll go back to Arlene. I just saw a note that I had written, and I want to throw it out there and get done with it, and then we'll get back on Arlene. In chapter 2, they spend an entire page that is the manual for the rocket.
Yes, yes.
They just decide...
What should we make of this?
Let's do this. Let's fill a bunch of technobabble gibberish BS, and that'll fill up a couple of pages. Cool.
The ZDS protocol provides reliable flow-controlled two-way transmission of unenriched fuel cell packet deliverables from nozzle to socket. It is a plasma stream, or packet stream, SOC-SQL fuel packet protocol. ZDS uses the Union Aerospace Corporation double-sequencing directed steam format, and this format provides for nozzle spray and extern spray socket specialization. See the definition of ZDS redirection section 3.12, active or passive socket.
That's all I hear while he's reading this. Just
it goes on forever because
it's
all of that
verbal
matters.
Farting. It's all verbal of that, farting of wasted space.
All that matters to us, and then we get into the even more verbal farting of wasted space, which is when Arlene has space dementia and admits that her brother sexually abused her. And it's also done in the most childishly inane way. Arlene doesn't even have the illusion of agency to be able to admit these things of her own willingness and volition to fly.
No, it's because she's a strong lady, bro. It's strong lady hang-ups.
And then she's suffering this space dementia and admits these things to fly. And here's the messed up thing, man. Tell me if you have a real problem with this the way that I do. I want to read something to you.
Okay.
I had a real big problem with this. If I shouldn't wake her, there seemed no reason I shouldn't try to communicate. And this is when Arlene is going through her space dementia. Arlene, can you hear me? Quiet, she said. I don't want Fly to hear you. He's depending on me. Why don't you want him to know about me? I asked. Because you're evil, she said with conviction. You're all evil, you bastards. She walked slowly down the corridor. So long as she wasn't in danger of hurting herself, I saw no reason to shock her out of it. Why are we bad? You scare me. You make my brother do bad things. Up to that point, I didn't know that Arlene even had a brother. It was weird. I thought we'd known everything about each other's family life. She talked about her parents growing up in Los Angeles all the time. I was uncomfortable in pursuing the matter, but I rationalized away my moral qualms and decided to play out the hand. Who are we? I asked. She swayed drunkenly, delivering a monologue like those weird old plays from previous centuries. Bad things in the air, in the night, making my brother crazy. He'd never do bad things except for you. I thought I'd never see you again. Why'd you follow me into space, to Mars, to Deimos? When I grew up, I thought you weren't real, but now I know better. You followed me, but I won't let you get inside me. Not inside. When Arlene had kidded me about going down memory lane, I took it in good humor. But if we were going to have to relive all the bad stuff from our childhood as the air leaked away, I was good and ready to say goodbye to Deimos now, rocket or no rocket, instead of the later. Is there anything about that, just even beyond the fact that a woman admits that she was sexually abused, infers anyway, it's inferred that she was sexually abused, that she doesn't admit it of her own free will to her friend. And what does her friend do?
He creepily lets her just go on with this weird dream fantasy thought that could end up terribly dangerous.
Wow. Wow, I heard none of that.
Say anything. I just got told that my internet connection wasn't stable. I literally said nothing.
Mine too. Anyway, as you were saying.
Awesome. He lets her continue with this thing, and it could go really badly. As a person, you're basically doing hypnotherapy at that point. And therapists don't even like doing hypnotherapy, if it's even real. But the idea of repressed memories, you're dealing with what are technically repressed memories, and you're just letting her run around with it. Hey, that's cool. Hey, oh man, maybe she's going to, I don't know, beat me up because she thinks I'm her brother, or maybe... It's all bad. It's all bad.
And then he says, he plays the victim to the circumstance as well and goes, I thought we knew everything about her. I thought we knew everything about each other, but we didn't. Well, yeah, dude, because there's a reason she didn't talk about her brother. It's not like she's just like, by the way, so you know, I'm a Marine. I love my parents. Also, my brother did a bad thing to me. Like, no, that's not how, A, it's not how you... would ever you don't need to expect to learn those things about somebody. And the fact that he then plays the part of like this, I guess she sees in her head, it's this whole space dementia thing where she associates all of the bad things in her childhood with like demonic presences. And so he's just like, well, let me play the... He goes on to play the role of the demon to get information out of her. And it's just really sleazy.
Yeah, why are you trying to trick your dementia-having friend into telling you her secrets?
Arlene, we'll make a deal with you, I said.
That's creepy, bro.
We'll stop bothering you and let you get back to fly. In exchange for what, she wanted to know, quite reasonably. Because we've moved back to Earth and you can't touch us there. Fly and I are building a ship to take us to Earth. Ha! We don't believe you two will get anywhere near us. Like, he's being a real good actor here. When did he become such a good actor?
I don't know, because of theater. Theaters.
You'll be stuck on Deimos forever. That's a lie, she snapped. We'll fight you again. We're not afraid of your little genetic stupid men. Big words, I said. I don't know, A, such a really poorly designed way to introduce the past of a character. B, it's just a really poor past to a character in general. Can we just have a woman in a book who isn't defined because some dude decides to take advantage of her?
Not in this book, you can't.
That's so stupid.
Plain and simply.
It's you bad,
there's
it's
not,
bad
there's
writing.
There's not a female character in this book. When they introduce Jill, it's clear that Jill has a past as well, that she's
as
broken.
An orphan, right? Yep.
Because we can't... Men can show up, they're going to be strong, they're going to be powerful, they're fine, I'm a good... guess what, I'm a man, but little girls, you come in, come on in, and I'll tell you how you're not as good as men.
I also like that, and when I say like, I mean I hate the fact that there's like this suggested double entendre with come, like she says, like, I won't let you get inside of me, demons. Like, that there's a suggestion of like physical intimacy alongside like in my brain. Like, fuck off, man. It's such trash. Why did I ever dare give this book at the beginning of it some kind of vague compliment about how the dialogue could have been good? Because it's garbage. I've changed my ways. This book sucks again.
It does suck.
Sucks again.
And sucks, we're not 2.0. Even. And we're not even off the. We haven't even taken the rocket ship to Earth. We're not even on hell on Earth.
Stupid.
We do
rocket.
Find out that Flynn is a little baby boy. Some dude lied to him and he threw up on a roller coaster.
Wait, what? I forgot this. I forgot yeah. about this.
Yeah, there's some point where a guy tells Flynn a bunch of horror stories about a roller coaster, and he gets so worked up on the roller coaster that he throws up because he has a flashback dream about it. And then
I don't even remember this.
Yeah, it is. I'll tell you. It's in chapter 4.
I gotta find it. I gotta find it. I don't even remember it. It shows you how much I paid attention.
Let's see. Because it's back right around where Arlene's having more of her hallucinations.
I found it. I'd never been afraid in the old roller coaster. With all the courage of an experienced 10-year-old, I'd sit in the car as it slowly reached the top. In the first loop, I worried about centrifugal force snapping my neck. And then I threw up. Not a good thing to do when you're upside down. So let's compare. Let's have a comparison. Fly's traumatic past. Arlene's traumatic past.
One of us threw up on a roller coaster. One of us got touched by our brother. Hey, Arlene.
Sorry, Arlene. I'm sorry. Were written by Deaf, Feet of Hugh and Bradlin Weaver. So we get to Earth. It's not eventful.
Also, they wreck. They do an unsuccessful test of their rocket and destroy everything and have to basically almost start over again. So then they get to Earth and they crash. They crash land and they're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
They land at Salt Lake City right in the middle. Like, you know, because that's convenient. They land right outside of the last human enclave on Earth.
Also, it's taken us, what, 6-7 chapters to get there?
Yep.
Yeah, then they land on Earth at the beginning of chapter 7.
Then we learn, and they meet a bunch of Mormons, which again, is fairly cool in that it's clear that the authors have some kind of knowledge about Mormonism and the Church of Latter-day Saints, like, as authors, so they choose to incorporate it in here. It's not just, like, random knowledge where you just pull it, and you're like, Mormons, cool.
They were kind of like, hey, it's like, guess what? It's lucky that we happen to know some Mormons in real life and learned about them, so let's just include that in the book because it's the only chance we'll ever get to write about some Mormons and use something that we actually know about in a book as opposed to just making everything up, like our knowledge of women.
Oh, yeah, there's that. They meet Albert.
Oh, Albert and Jerry are creepy when they first meet them.
Yeah,
I don't like
aren't they?
Them. They're oogie. You like my gun? Hey, you like this gun?
You like this? You like think this is cool gun?
Is this a cool gun that you like? Arlene?
Hey, if you don't like my gun, you might like my motorcycles.
I hate my mustache today, by the way.
I'm out of control.
It's getting out of control. And every time I get up close to the mic and look at it, look this. It's just a bushy, hairy mustache that makes me really I hate myself. If you take nothing away from this episode, I hate myself.
Are you finding it really hard to talk about this book again?
Okay. Yes. Yes, I am, I have the exact opposite problem with the book this time. Last time, there was so much to hate, and it was so bad. This time, they fall into this realm of, it's bad, but as I read the book, I found that I could break away from taking notes for a little while.
Yes.
So then I almost like there wasn't enough funny stuff to get angry about.
Yes.
In a comedic value that I'm reading this book saying, oh, we're supposed to be doing a comedy podcast and there's not enough funny in this book to make fun of.
Because it becomes a matter of necessity. The book itself breaks down to the necessity of developing conflict with the characters. So developing conflict for them. So we get down to Salt Lake City. We are introduced to Jerry and Albert. Fly and Arlene are brought in. They're recognized as military. Albert Gallatin just happens to have a past as a USMC soldier before he dedicates himself
Few times that we're relying on outright luck.
Yes.
In this book, at least, that is a thing that they do get away from. They do rely on luck a little bit. Like, some characters are saved later on in the book because of luck, things like that. But it's not so much Deus Ex Machina this book as it is in the previous one.
Yes, where, like, the blue super spheres come out of nowhere, soul spheres. In this, it's at least contrivance of convenience for story. And I think a lot of that comes from the fact that there are just other semi-warm bodies around them that they can interact with.
And they're also trying to make an attempt at having an original storyline as opposed to being stuck right to the Doom series, which in its own way means that it's polarizing for the audience. If you look at reviews of this book, some people love it because it's not Doom 2 word for word, and some people can't stand it because it's nothing like the game.
And we also have to identify the flaws of the source material. So, you know me, I love Doom, right? I love it, but I can also point out its flaws, right? I recognize the original Doom, while it's a groundbreaking game, is not a perfect game. Episode 1 is amazing. Episode 2 really has its struggles, where some of the level design is not very well done. Episode 3, even more than that. Like, the level design for Episode 3 is just not very memorable, nor is it very tight. Hell on Earth as a game is the exact same way. The levels are desperately trying to be like cityscapes at a time where they couldn't manage that, and they just don't flow as well as the previous atmosphere of the first Doom. So trying to recreate a game that is even less recognizable as Hell on Earth as a book, I think they actually did a pretty commendable job at trying in a way that wasn't just we crash land and kill more demons.
Yeah.
They produce some connection to Earth culture. There is unique power shifts in the world where we see the president the president is present there, and Fly and Arlene are directly in contact with the president as he is then, and then they are sent on a mission for him. None of that stuff came up in the game, obviously, because in the game you get to Earth, you kill more demons, and you just happen to find out that the invasion is in your hometown. And then you let all the humans out of the world.
And that's halfway through the game.
And then
that's only halfway.
Then you stay and kill all of the demons.
And then John was the demons.
John was the demons. Yeah, I think it loses in shifting characters, it loses voice where it develops story. These guys can't do one thing well. When they start doing one thing well, they start losing their focus on everything else.
You'd figure that with two people, two authors, they would be able to kind of checks and balances each other and say, hey, Brad, this doesn't quite work right here. Or, hey, Daffod, this is not how this doesn't sound right. But instead, they just let each other keep making mistakes.
Yeah.
And it's not unbearable to read.
It's just not memorable.
No, exactly. And it's a very different book from Doom 1 because we add characters and we tell stories and we're trying to develop characters and a different mythos than we have in the Doom games. We've been handed something else. It's like the first game they were told they had to stick with exactly what the game was in the book. And then in the second one, they went, well, you did a good enough job. Here you go. We'll give you the reins and you can just do what you want. And so they add other characters. They try to make it interesting. And I do find that I enjoy character interaction, but it's also tropey.
Yes.
In a time when we should be aware of what the tropes are. We knew what tropes were in the 90s.
Yeah, but I think we were not as willing to break them. And we even see this with, like, Stephen King's books. Like, Stephen King, 70s and 80s, really heavily reliant upon tropes. And I think still even now a little bit, where they get sometimes painful. You go back and you read Carrie, and Carrie is a painfully tropey book. As his first book, I get it. And it is, it's like a very freshman attempt. And that's what I feel like these are at times. You know, in Carrie, it's religion is terrible. Abusive mom is trying to psychologically manipulate the daughter. The jock is the asshole. She's picked on at school. It's all of these really established tropes that even for the 70s were that way. And this is also like you've got the abused, the damaged woman. The dopey but dedicated best friend who'll never get to be anything but the best friend. You've got the proud, dedicated Mormon who is a man of conviction, struggling with his own shortcomings. And then you've got the young, plucky hacker girl, Jill Lovelace, who actually just happens to be the most, I think, memorable of all the characters.
Is that what her name is?
Jill Lovelace?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was trying to remember it earlier. Yes. I couldn't remember her name, and I just was like, oh, are we going to go through the whole book just calling her Jill and never asking what her last name is?
I actually find Jill the more memorable of all the characters, and I have reasons why. So they meet Jill.
She's also just the orphan trope. She's the abandoned orphan trope.
Who's a little tough on the outside, but a little soft on the inside. She's a computer hacker, a lot like John Carmack. And also, she knows the right way to hack the systems. And how's the first way she's going to prove that she hacks systems? How do you think true hackers show their skill?
Is it by hacking computers?
Yeah, you got to hack computers for your own self-benefit. What's a 14-year-old girl going to benefit from? How's she going to get friends?
I don't remember, dude. It's so unmemorable that I can't tell you.
Arlene touched the girl on the shoulder. Jill didn't pull away. Arlene didn't talk down to her. In a casual tone, she said, "Do you think there might be some pointers I could give you, hon?" The 14-year-old smiled for the first time. She didn't answer right away. Then she said in a firm voice, "Want some pizza?" Now that she mentioned it, my mouth began to salivate. I'm gonna hack a pizza delivery place and show you just how skilled I am to hack things and get something for my own benefit.
I didn't even pick that up.
Yeah.
I thought they were just going to the mess hall to eat pizza.
I mean, I just took it as like, yeah, I can hack and get like pizza for us. I get pizza delivered. It's like, it's very Home Alone. It's like,
yeah.
It's like, come on, you dirty animal.
Thanks.
At least that's how I saw it. Maybe I'm totally wrong, right?
But I don't know, because there's nothing in this book that is quantifiable as something
as good.
Yes, exactly.
I'm a 14-year-old kid. I love hacking and I love pizza. It's just like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with young Sam Rockwell. He's going to steal a VCR, but then he's going to feel bad about it. He's also going to wear a Sid Vicious shirt and be ready to hang out with Raphael. Damn, I just pulled a lot of random.
That was pretty good.
Dude,
that was pretty good. Especially because Sam Rockwell is, as an actor, pretty awesome.
Wait, Sam Rockwell wears a Sid Vicious shirt in that. I think it's the other boy.
No, I don't know.
Sam Rockwell's like the badass punk.
Right.
And then
right.
The other boy is like the Foot Clan soldier boy. Can we start a new podcast called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Movies Quarantine Book Club at Home Movie Podcast Time?
Look, friends? We can't even get people to listen to us reading these stupid books. How are we going to get them to listen to us watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
So can you speak about the mission that they're sent on?
Yeah, sure. After I point out another terrible thing that
Please.
I have to tell you. I'm sorry, because I do want to talk about the mission. But there are so many problems that I have that the first time I read this when I was younger, I didn't realize. I need to talk about Albert because I don't like Albert.
Yeah, I don't like him either.
He's a piece of crap.
Yeah.
First of all, every time he meets Arlene, like the first time he meets Arlene, he gets horny for her, and then he gets mad at himself for it.
Oh my God! I'm objectifying women, and I hate it. And at least that's their only sense of redemption in this book is like they have a character.
Yeah, who has to identify that he objectifies women.
Oh, don't look at the girls! I'm a bad guy for looking at the girls.
What?
Fly at Arlene.
Let me imitate what you just did.
I'm so frustrated.
You just went, Wyatt. If you can see us on the YouTube video, watch a YouTube video. Bob just like, you ever seen a cat before the cat throws up and it's like licking at its chops?
That's
like,
what this book makes me want to do!
That's what Bob just did. Why not?
So, Fly and Arlene, the idiots that they are, send uncoded messages to their superior officer telling them right where they are and that there's a whole, hey, guess what? The whole world is under attack, but let me tell you, we're right where we are with a whole large group of people over the radio. Guess what? They get a bunch of people killed. They get a bunch of people killed because, oh, their former commanding officer, he's actually in league with the aliens too because the entire government fell. So let's just go ahead and say the aliens attack all of us. So the aliens have attacked the Mormon stronghold.
Which, and as an aside, cool mm-hmm. detail, right? Something that Doom never talked about was like, are there humans that are in league with the demons? That's cool. Like, that's cool stuff.
But Sorry. Do you want to know how Albert equates their mistake?
Do tell.
He describes their mistake thus. But they had honor, and they probably felt like children whose rough play accidentally killed the pet dog. I sure would. Are you kidding me? You feel like, oh, no big deal. The kids accidentally killed the pet dog. It was an accident, but it's okay. Don't worry about it. You accidentally abused our pet to death. But it's fine. It's okay. Whatever. Who would write this?
It's cool.
Who would think
cool.
like
That's
this?
That's how we do it.
A monster.
Daffy of Hugh and Brad Linneweaver. John is the demons. John is the demons. Do you have a hard time? Let's say that all of this is an interconnected universe. The Doom books and the Doom games.
Okay.
Do you think that Fly Taggart could become the Doom Slayer?
Like, that's the only way I play the games.
Could you to presume that he is?
Yeah, no. As I'm playing that game, I'm like, this dude's Fly Taggart. I'm thinking about the time he swam through some slime.
I'm thinking about the fact that he went nuts after all of this, and now he just
screams rip and tear. By the end of it, his brain is so messed up that all he can do is scream rip and tear.
See, I need to identify that there's two, like that there's a multiverse at work here, right? That there is, so apparently, now this is a totally random thing, but apparently there is a removed reference in Doom Eternal from this year to there being a multiverse and that the Doom Slayer's Earth exists in what's called the seventh dimension, or what they call Earth 7, to suggest that there's at least six other Earths out there, which would suggest that there is a multiverse. There's various layers of the same reality modified differently, which I think is really cool, right? So that could suggest that Doom 3 is its own separate story with some of the same ideas in it. It could suggest that Doom, okay, by Daffy Depew and Brad Linneweaver, is another one of those worlds. All of this linked back together into this idea that the same repetitive action done over and over is its own hell.
That's exactly what I need.
But like,
I need a Doom multiverse.
Well, I mean, that's cool to me. I'm fine with that. Like, but I just don't. Can we just delete these books from it?
No, man. These are part of the multiverse now.
What other things are part of the Doom multiverse then in that case?
Duke Nukem.
Why?
Because it's got nothing to do with Doom, just like this book.
Oh, God. Duke Nukem is here.
Commander Keen.
Yes.
Commander Keen.
So Commander Keen is technically canon, right?
Yeah.
Because his
helmet and skull are in the Doomslayer ship.
And he is the grandson of B.J. Blazkowicz.
Commander Keen is?
Yes. Commander Keen is
which means he's Flint Taggart's grandfather.
Which means he's also Soph, and is either he's a child of either Soph or who are the main characters in Youngblood.
I don't remember.
Soph and Jess.
Yes.
Yeah, one of their kids, he is Commander Keen. Which means that, like you said, potentially the grandparent. No, but it's also dumb. It's also dumb.
But cool.
I saw here a Kahoot that you want me to take. Is that correct?
I do, because I think that we should just stop talking about this book. Let's get through the last of the little bit, and then you can take this Kahoot. Don't worry.
Okay.
It's not
hard. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So they screw up, and because of their dumb actions, the demons attack Salt Lake City. And they are then sent on this mission because they claim that they killed an entire army of demons already. They're sent on a mission to Los Angeles so that they can bring Jill to a place where she can hack a computer, and then they can take that information to Hawaii. And that's now our plot of the book. 10 chapters in.
Finally.
We get our main plot. The next 6 chapters are their trials and tribulations of traveling to LA, so far as where we've gotten. We're still in transit when we end chapter 16. And chapter 16 ends with, in chapter 16, we end having introduced for the first time one of the Doom baddies. And that's in the quiz. So I don't want to.
Don't want to spoil it.
But it's the first Doom 2 baddie that we introduce in this game. That's an official canon Doom enemy.
Yes.
And we get some like on the road companionship fun time. Things get a little bit. They're starting to get a little bit romantic between Albert and Arlene, because let's face it, Arlene doesn't like religion, and she specifically hates Mormons because of her brother. So of course she's going to fall in love with a Mormon. That makes sense, because he's a Mormon with a heart of gold.
A heart of gold, but also love checking out girls.
Yeah, I've got a heart of gold and a penis made of wood. Very hard wood. All the time. For looking at girls. Marine girls.
Yep, that's as far as they get.
It's cool, right?
They fight an official Doom 2 bad guy from Doom 2.
And that's where we end for this week.
Cool.
With it, man, take this quiz.
Okay, I'm gonna do it right now. Am I it's sharing my screen?
Awesome. Yes, please.
Okay. Let me share my screen for you. Share my screen. Host disabled attendee screen sharing. What am I, some idiot?
Wait, what?
What am I, some idiot for you? What am I, some loser?
You are some loser. Okay, there you go.
Okay,
you should be able to share it now.
All right, I'm sharing it. Wait, why is this here?
Oh, you'll see.
I never take this letter. What do I in there? I was lying down. Okay, go. Nickname. Nickname. Albert Gallatin. Checking out girls. 3 whole questions.
Yeah, I got a little lazy this week. At least I did one.
3, 2, 1. Yeah, I didn't make one for you. Quiz. What is the first new Doom 2 creature the group discovers in person? The Mancubus? The Revenant, the Arachnotron, or the Pain Elemental? Bam, 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 bam. Revenant. Boom, ba-doom, boom. Yeah, the big bony's like punching him in with the big fists.
Understand why I picked this gif?
Is it because it's Red Skelton?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the first name that Flynn gives to it is a Red Skeleton.
And they just continue. They just continue their terrible, terrible naming conventions from
Because what do they call it in the book, bro? Do you remember what they call it?
I don't even remember off the top of my head.
A bony.
That's right. Yeah, bony, right. I thought I was too stupid to reflect on that and to get it wrong, but truth be told.
It's a bony.
All right. Albert got 1,000 points. God, I'm really killing it with this quiz already.
You are.
I'm nervous, though, you know? Is it going to go, or...
Cool, I guess it's just broken now.
Got it. Which feminist author also sometimes wrote in stream of consciousness first-person style with multiple narrators?
What are the answers here? You got to explain. Well, first of all, tell everybody what the screen is.
So which feminist author also sometimes wrote in stream of consciousness first-person style with multiple narrators? Virginia Woolf, Toni Morrison, Jane Austen, Mary Shelley, right?
It's a real English teacher quiz for it you. Is. Last week, you were like, I'm going to make a theater quiz, and yep. I said, I'm going to make an English teacher quiz.
I like that this came out of nowhere, though. It's only vaguely related to... I picked Toni Morrison, not Virginia Woolf, like a dummy.
So what's the actual answer?
Virginia Woolf.
It's Virginia Woolf, bro. Way to go.
Yeah,
way to go,
English teacher. It wasn't Mary Shelley, wasn't Jane Austen, and I don't know why I picked Toni Morrison.
But Virginia Woolf. What's the picture of?
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, what's he doing?
He's narrating.
Yeah, that's right, because everybody hears Morgan Freeman as their head's narrator.
I don't.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't.
You're inhuman.
No, and you know why? Because I can't do a good Morgan Freeman impersonation.
Oh, my God.
What?
My fiance Tara just came downstairs, snuck in, and just gave me a boo.
I didn't even see.
I didn't either. She's super sneaky. She's invisible.
That's mean. That's mean. Okay. Let's go.
All right,
let's do
question.
The next one. True or false? Cahoots take too long to create, and I have ADD. I don't know, man. I think that might be...
Is it true or false?
It's true.
Correct.
So I got 2,000 out of 3,000 points today.
Yeah, you did.
You know what this means? I just have to give you your own Cahoot next week.
That's cool. Yeah, you give me a Cahoot next week. But that also means that you, being the person who didn't create, if you remember our wager from last week, you're going to have to create a half an hour long dramatic reading of a section of the book.
Oh, and I know exactly what section
I'm going to
read.
Online.
I know exactly what I'm going to read. But here's the other problem I have, though, is that you can't sit here and dole out punishments.
Yeah.
When you yourself have not directly fulfilled your punishment from last week.
You're absolutely right. And that's why we're starting a new section this week. What are those called, bro?
Letters?
A segment. That's what
segment.
It is. A new segment. Letters. That's right. I'm going to write a letter. So give me a couple of seconds here while I open up a new document. Because one of my big problems, here's a question for you. Shall we post it as an Amazon review?
Yeah.
Since I actually tried this week to find a way to send fan mail to Daffod Abhew.
And it didn't work?
And I couldn't find him.
Because he's off the grid, man. He's off the radar. He's living in Montana, hiding from COVID. Hiding from COVID-19. He doesn't want to be found by anybody. He's got too many libertarian beliefs to hold up. He's gonna bury all his gold in the middle of Colorado. He's gonna hang out with his mom. He's gonna write amazing books like Doom 2, Hell on Earth, by Daffy DePew and Brad Lindeweaver. Hang out with his mom.
Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and open up Amazon here.
Okay.
And scroll down to the reviews and figure out how to leave a review. Here we go. Give me a second, and I will write a customer review. So let's go ahead and...
You probably got to sign in.
Yeah, I'm signed in already. I'm signed in. So let's go ahead and let me share my screen.
Wait, so am I making this?
Google Chrome.
Okay.
No, I'm going to go ahead and do it. I'm going to write...
Okay.
I'm going to write a review right now. Overall rating, 5 stars. What's important to know? Because I was writing a fan love letter, remember?
You're right, you're right.
So it has to be positive. I'm going to write it as a letter still.
Oh, okay.
This, add a headline. This book smacks. My stepkids will get really mad at me because everybody knows that smacks is in reference to food while slaps is in reference to
music.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what's in reference to book. Is it sax?
No, it's flips. This book flips. This book really flips. It flips.
Exclamation point.
Yo, I got, okay. Yo, Daffied.
Dear Daffied.
I'm sorry Brad's dead.
This is my letter that I'm writing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, then what am I here for?
Because you're going to help. You listen to me while I write it.
I just offered you an opportunity for help. You didn't want
to. You to know that your book is. I'm also going to leave in all of my spelling.
That's an awful spelling mistake, by the way. You're making me want to scream.
On purpose.
Y-O-U-R-E.
I know how to spell your. Just so you know, it is Y-O-U-R in this instance.
You positive?
Yes.
Because there's going to be a Kahoot next week.
Great.
Yep.
Really good.
God, this is painful.
This is painful to not have any books past Doom 4, I mean.
No, M-A-E-N. There you go. I'm A-N.
Please write more. Your story about
a boy.
Fly.
A boy.
Yep. Tag rat is really good. I read it when I was a teen and just picked it up again. Please come on my podcast.
Oh, yeah.
I would love to discuss how much I love it.
Okay, here's a question for you, man. For if we can get Daffy the Pew to come on our podcast, because it's not like he's getting any kind of press anyway, do we drill him or do we act like little babies and we just like get really excited about it with him?
I don't know.
Do you think he'd hate it? Do you think he'd look back on this book and be like, God, I'm so angry I wrote that book?
Kind of. I'd hope that... I don't know. I want to say that the guy might have... Maybe he'd have a good sense of humor about it, but apparently he's... he's sort of unliked, right?
Daffy, if you're out there and you're hearing this, because there's not like anybody else is talking about your damn book, we may be hating on it. I'll continue doing that if I talk to you in person. Your friend, Rance.
For anyone that likes Doom, this is the books.
Am I still sharing? Oh, you gotta scroll down, man. I can't see.
Sorry, it's everything. It's everything. Okay. There we go. Sorry, I didn't realize it.
Yeah.
You're
fine.
This is the books for you.
This is the book for you. I made this book for you.
I made this book for you. Love you.
I don't like this book. You know, I...
P.S.
For
please one, send cookies.
I feel like, unfortunately...
My review is submitted. It may take several days. They're not going to post this review.
I feel they like you took the easy way out.
Why?
Because, I don't know, man. Like, I just feel like you took the easy way out. I'm going to spend a half an hour reading this garbage out loud. And here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to start from 17 moving forward. So that way, like, anybody who might have got, like, you know, caught up and actually read. Sorry, I'm going because I'm done with this book.
Come on, dude. Also, you're going to double task. You're going to cheap out and double task and go,
yeah.
I'm starting from the spot I haven't started reading from. Guess what, bro? I'm already up to chapter 25.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Well, doesn't that just make you the cool boy in town?
No, it makes me the guy who did his homework.
Doesn't that just... I know, I got to the chapter I needed to. Actually,
No, you didn't! You stopped a chapter early! You
yeah,
liar!
I stopped at 16. I forgot to get to the end of 16. I fell asleep reading this.
I'm gonna piss my pants.
Don't...
Just out of anger right now.
Don't do it. Because
you call me out on being lazy, and then you're like, I'm going to be the laziest.
You know what?
You didn't even finish the work. You didn't do a Kahoot for me. You
no,
didn't finish the reading.
I didn't need to make a Kahoot for you. You know why? There was nothing remotely necessary to quiz you on in this, because I knew you were going to be fine. I had faith in you.
I was looking forward to my theater boy quiz. That you said I could have. And you didn't do it.
Let me give myself an alarm.
Make a note. Write in your book.
Give a Bob a theater boy quiz. You're right. I'm sorry.
Theater hurt my feelings.
Boy quiz. Dear Bob, I promise in the future I won't ever let you down when it comes to creating a theater boy quiz for you ever again.
Thanks.
In the future, I'll respect your feelings more. And do my best to take care of you and your heart. And make sure that you know that I love you so much and that I would make a theater boy quiz for you any day of the week. Any day of the week and any night of the day and any week of the month and any month of the year, I'd make a theater boy quiz for you.
And so it is written. So it shall be.
All right, so next week, what are we doing?
Next week, we're going to finish this dumb book.
Cool. I can't wait to get to Infernal Sky, book 3.
I can.
I sort of want to just ruin the end of the book for everybody right now. But I'm not going to do that.
That would be rude.
That would not. I'm not going to do it. All right, so.
Before we go, do you want to play a quick game of how many stars?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. This is a review by Jonas.
Okay, Jonas, like the Jonas brother?
Yes, J-O-N-A-S.
The Jonas brother, the only one.
One of Jonas.
Okay.
Pretty good for a Doom book.
I don't know
there were Doom books until I saw a Super Bunny Hop video about video game novelizations, and this one seemed pretty interesting, so I picked it up. And it is an interesting book. The action doesn't translate perfectly into paragraphs, and Doom didn't have much of a story to begin with, so the authors just went nuts creating their own situations and rules. The Mormon character was over the top and strange, but he grew on you through the novel. It is a decent and standalone story, a quick, easy, and pretty fun read. Definitely better than I thought it would be.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. I'm going to say he got a 4 out of 5.
3. 3 out of 5.
Why
stars.
Are these people so friggin' positive and yet they give the numbers? He gave it a 60%. He gave it a D.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's cool, man. It's cool. I can give you one more if you'd
like.
Yeah,
give me one more. I'm really interested. I'm really interested. But
This is about the series as a whole.
Okay.
This is by Cody. Spelled
okay,
K-O-D-I.
K-O-D-I. Okay, Cody. Mm-hmm. Cody, gotcha. Like a dog, right? That's how you spell a dog's name.
Right.
I got
right.
a pet named Cody.
This was reviewed in the United States on March 24th, 2012.
Okay.
So there's a good possibility that Cody is dead at this point.
Can that be the title of this episode? There is a good possibility that Cody is dead.
Sure.
Cool.
If you are a Doom, love, you have to get this.
If you're a Doom, love, you have to get this.
There is no punctuation throughout this entire entry, and there is no capitalization.
Is he Irish?
I don't know. No, he's in the United States. This is an amazing book. It's not that long, and I just loved it. The picture shown is not the cover. You will get the one you will get is a demon's face, but I didn't really care either way. The book is If You Love Doom, and I mean the game, not the movie. You need to get it. The reason I say you shouldn't get it if you love the movie and not the game is because the movie and the game have nothing in common. The movie is biased on the game to the extent that there is evil monsters and they are on Mars. That's it. The game is demons coming from hell and wanting to take back Earth. The movie is about an ancient spices creating an extra chromosome and some
spices.
Of them going crazy. It is a 250-page book. A great read, very intenseful. The game reads kind of as if you were playing the game. The only downfall is you get the first and second one, and you read those, but when you go to get the third one, it's like $50, which is kind of horrible. Otherwise, it is an amazing buy.
Well, I'm glad Cody gave us all the thoughts on that one. I bet Cody gave this a straight 5 out of 5.
Cody gave this a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, he did.
Mm-hmm. 5 people found this helpful.
Do you think 5 people read the whole review and they were like, God, based on Cody's perception, I gotta grab this book? What do you think somebody said in their brain when they read Cody's review? Like, what do you think that they were telling themselves when they?
Please kill me.
Please. It's like in Duke Nukem when you find those girls who are wrapped up in slime and they tell you to kill them.
Oh, man, I feel like maybe that's the book that these guys should have worked on was a Duke Nukem book.
No, because that would have been even worse.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Nobody likes Duke Nukem nowadays.
No, Duke Nukem is canceled.
Yeah, he sucks.
Thank God. Thank God that like every single time we tried to make a Duke Nukem game since the 90s, it failed hard. Because we don't need that in our world.
Not at all. Not at all. All right. Next week, we're reading Hell on Earth. We're finishing up Hell on Earth by Doom, by Daffy.
That's right. Going to finish it up, get through there so that we can get on to book 3. Well, if you get a chance, if you'd like to send us an email, check out our website, www.thequarantinebookclub.com. You can find us where most podcasts are found, Apple, Spotify, other great portals. Give us a rate and review. It really helps us out. If you're watching this on YouTube, let me flip the page here. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the like and subscribe and that bell icon, all that other good stuff. Hit us up on Facebook at The Quarantine Book Club and on Instagram at The Quarantine Book Club Podcast.
Yeah.
Blasted through that fast this time.
That was awesome. Each week I want you to get faster and faster, okay?
So eventually I'm like the Micro Machines guy?
Yep. And I just want to think about Micro Machines all day long.
I was watching him do some stuff on YouTube the other day. I don't know. It's old videos. Like, I think there's one where he goes through all of the lyrics in Billie Jean as fast as he can.
Is that Scatman? Or is that a different guy?
No, it's a different guy.
For some reason, I get the two real confused.
I don't know who Scatman is.
I gotta look him up. Scatman. I gotta look him up really quick before we leave. We gotta find out Scatman. Scatman, what is his damn name?
It's Scatman damn name. Scatman, man, damn, man, name.
Scatman, Scatman song. Yeah, the Scatman, right? Scatman John. Yeah, Scatman John. Wait. Wait a second. Give me 1 second. I think I might be making another connection. Back to, remember how last week we had the Bono Bono thing?
Yes.
Oh no! Okay, so no. The Micro Machines man is not Scatman John, who was a musician.
Okay.
but I got them confused. But this is John Machida Jr. is Micro Machines' man.
Cool.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye. See ya. Guess
that's
now.
It. That's how we end an episode.
That's how we end the podcast. Cool. Micro Machines. Time Micro Machines go.
I don't really know what else to say.
Okay, well, see you later on.
What don't you like? What do you feel like?
What?
Don't you have to talk about hippie punk snots?
I don't have anything to talk about. We're just calling.
Is your sign off? Come on, bro. You got to pick. We got to build a format if people are going to listen to us.
I'm a hippie punk snot flying on Belladonna.
No, you can say something like, don't be a hippie punk snot flying on Belladonna.
Don't be a hippie snuck dot flying on Belladonna.
Pumpkins.
Don't be a spilly dunk knot flying on Spumpkin Belladonna.
Cool.
Okay, see ya.
See ya.
I'll catch you later.
I'll catch you on Earth after we fly a rocket down there.
See ya. Love you. Miss you. Hope all is well. Peace and out. Whatever. I don't care. Yeah, he sucks. <100%. I fell asleep.